Our reading this evening comes from Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 40. And Jennifer will come and read for us.
Judges 6, verses 1 to 40. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'But sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'But Lord,' Gideon asked, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.' Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait until you return.' Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flamed from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, 'Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, 'The Lord is Peace.' To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerub-Baal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Amen.
So tonight we read this long chapter, Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 40. And the background to the story is that the land that God had promised to Abraham was now occupied by Abraham's descendants as per God's promise. And Joshua was now dead, and this was now the time of the judges, and Israel was not yet led by the anointed kings. So the time of the judges was a dark period. The Bible says that during the time of the judges, because people had no king, had no anointed kings, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So it was like our time when people are saying there is no absolute truth. So everyone will just do what he or she feels good or feels is right in their own eyes. So this was the time of the judges. The nation of Israel operated as a loose confederation of tribes with a common lineage. But before entering Canaan, the children of Israel had been warned by Moses. Moses told them that seasons of obedience to God would be rewarded with God's blessing, and disobedience would result in severe punishment by way of foreign oppression, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So during the era of the judges, there were multiple cycles where a season of prosperity would give way to rebellion against God, which would lead to punishment by way of foreign oppression. So when oppressed, the people would cry out to God, and a deliverer called a judge would be sent by God to lead the people out of oppression. so that they get again into a season of prosperity and the cycle begins again. So Gideon was one of the judges who were raised by God. He was the fifth judge. He was the fifth judge raised by God to deliver the Israelites from foreign oppression. Gideon is a strange mixture of fear, doubt, and faith. Fear, doubt, and faith. And all of us can identify with that. We can identify with a life which is a mixture of fear, doubt, and faith. And gatherings like this, where we gather to worship and to where we gather under the word of God, they are meant to reduce fear and doubt so that faith increases, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we are gathered here so that our level of fear and doubt could be lowered if God speaks to us tonight. So in the story, because Gideon's life was a mixture of fear, doubt, and faith, we find Gideon asking for more signs. He was asking God to prove himself, to prove that it was him who was sending him. He had more excuses. He had more fears. And such kind of behavior, such kind of a life, just it sounds like one of us. So tonight we want to think of how God met Gideon in this place of insignificance, a place of worry, a place of fear and persecution, and how God empowered him for a great purpose. The general thought is that God uses unlikely people to accomplish his purposes. That is the general thought tonight. In the theme we said, the journey of faith from warrior to warrior. That we want to emphasize the fact that God uses unlikely people to accomplish his purposes. Like we said, we can all identify with the life of Gideon, which is a mixture of fear, doubt, and faith. So, folks, there are no super saints, but God uses only Gideons. There are only Gideons, no super saints, because we can all identify with Gideon. God uses people who are not courageous, who are not natural leaders, people who don't have much talent, people who are not good public speakers to accomplish his purposes. Today's story is about God plucking a nobody from nowhere and using him to do something heroic. God used Gideon, although he thought he was not the right person. Gideon mentioned a number of issues that were supposed to disqualify him for use by God. He said, "I come from a lousy family background." Just like ourselves, we sometimes feel crippled by our backgrounds or childhood. We may find trouble moving on from the patterns we learned in our homes of origin. So if background is holding us back, then we have something to learn from the story of Gideon. Gideon also had a poor self-esteem. Sometimes we also have issues of feeling unworthy. We compare ourselves with others and always come up short. Gideon lived in fear. He was hiding from the Midianites. So He was a constant warrior. He was always worried. Therefore, he thought he could not be God's warrior. A cowardly nobody was called to lead the nation of Israel against its mighty enemy. Like in the story of David and Goliath, Gideon met a big enemy at a great disadvantage. He won because of his obedience to God and by faith in God's word. The nation of Israel, by this time, the time of Gideon, was at its lowest point. Like what we read from the text, they had abandoned God and engaged in idol worship again. They were spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, and economically bankrupt. The Midianites invaded with a force of 135,000 soldiers, and they did that for 7 years. Each time when the Israelites were about to harvest, they would come and invade. And at this time, the Israelites fled and went into hiding in caves. The people of God were now resembling the crowds that Jesus encountered, as recorded in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And people like Gideon were just wondering, will God send some rescue for his people? But then would never ask themselves, they would never wonder if God would send them. So we could be in a situation where we see that the Church of God or Christianity is under siege or is under attack, and maybe we just wonder, will God send someone to rescue his church, to rescue his people? And we never wonder if God is sending us. So the children of Israel were harassed and helpless. I say, and we said they were like sheep without a shepherd. The problem of Israel was nothing other than their broken relationship with God. It was not like they were not good soldiers or anything, but it was just the reason for their harassment and helplessness, their bankruptcy, was just because they were no longer connected to God. And trouble came and found them having broken their connection to God. The psalmist in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. Now Israel had left the Almighty God. They were no longer dwelling under the shelter of the Most High. They had no refuge. That's why they had to hide in caves, like a people without God. And by God's grace and mercy, the angel of God came down. And this was a theophany. This was, the angel would appear that he was more than an angel. This was God who came down. But the Bible says the angel of the Lord came down. The angel of the Lord met Gideon, tracking him down as he was threshing grain inside the winepress as a way of hiding from the Midianites. The angel greeted Gideon with a word of encouragement. Instead of criticizing him, the angel came with a word of encouragement, which sounded sarcastic. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And maybe Gideon stifled a laugh. He couldn't decide which part of the statement was more comical, because Gideon was anything but a mighty warrior. He was a farmer so filled with fear that he wouldn't even thresh his wheat on the threshing floor, but to hide in the wine press. He was a conquered coward and a frightened father. But from the statement of the angel, it was the assurance that God is with you, which prompted Gideon to ask questions. In verse 18, Gideon said, "Why has all this happened to us if God is with us?" Maybe we also ask such a question many times when we face adversity or when we are in difficult times. Why has all this happened to us if God is with us? Gideon couldn't harmonize the presence of God with the presence of the Midianites invaders. He was questioning God's fairness in allowing Midianites to invade the Israelites, the people of God. So Gideon had a very common spiritual view that says, if times are bad, then God is not here. And such a view is not biblical. Adversity is not a sign of the absence of God. Adversity is not a sign of the lack of God's love. The Bible shows us that God uses adversity to strengthen us, to test us, to punish us, and to perfect us, and for many other purposes, but God uses adversity, and adversity is not a sign of God's absence, like what Gideon thought. Because we read even in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, that even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He was perfected by the things that he suffered. So suffering is not a sign of lack of God's love for us. So, but because Gideon had this common spiritual view that says when things are bad, then God is not there. He asked, why has all this happened to us if God is with us? He also asked another question, where are all his wonders? Where are all his wonders? He was questioning God's power. Why will God not help us out of this? We read about his miracles, how he led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Where are all his wonders? Gideon recounted the stories of God's activities in the past. He couldn't affirm that God had been with Israel, because he saw no evidence of God's activities in the present. He thought God was not working in the present, and he said, where is God now? Where is he? When we are facing all this, where is God? But it is easy to bemoan or to cry over the lack of God's activity in the present. But it is more difficult to be part of God's activity in the present. People find it easy to bemoan or to cry when it seems like God is not doing anything. People will be crying, we will be crying that why is God letting all this happen? But it's even more difficult to be enrolled by God. When God says, I have come to act, now join me in the act. come and report for duty. Join me in the act. I want to show my activity in the present. Come and be part of that. Come and participate. So the angel was like saying to Gideon, if you want to see God's activity in the present, then report for duty to serve God. Just say, here I am, Lord. Send me into this situation and you will see God working. We are crying over the situation in Scotland or in the UK or in Europe. Maybe recounting the stories of the past when God was working in this place. But it seems like God is no longer working. It seems like the land is no longer the land of the book. But we should just avail ourselves and say, we know you are working in this place, in this country, even right now. Here I am, Lord. We should just report for duty. So when Gideon had made all the complaints, the angel said, am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? That was the response of the angel. He was like saying, stop complaining, stop lamenting, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And in verse 15, Gideon answered and said, how can I save Israel? Because Gideon pulled a mental mirror and said, not me. I know myself and I am not up to this task. I am not enough for the job. There must be someone stronger somewhere. There must be someone smarter. There must be someone younger or maybe someone older to do the task. Gideon knew his status and lack of status. He was not a warrior, but a warrior. He said to the angel, let me introduce myself to you. My family is the weakest in the tribe, and I am the weakest in the whole family. You must have made a wrong turn somewhere and ended up in this wine press. You could be looking for my cousin who is a big guy and good with the sword. He could be the mighty warrior, not me. So I would like to emphasize tonight that God uses those who think God can't use them. Those whom society looks down upon and say they can't be used. Paul had this revelation when he wrote his letter, his first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, verse 25 to 27. Paul reminded the Corinthians, he said, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealth, when God called you. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose things that are powerless to shame those that are powerful. God chose things that are despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. So God's power works better in weak people. If we feel we are weak, then we are strong, because God's power works better in weak people. That is what God told Paul when Paul complained about his problem. God said, my grace is sufficient for you, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul understood that, and he said, I would rather boast in my infirmities so that the power of Christ would rest upon me. So when faced with God's vision for the future, like Gideon, we put forward so many excuses. Excuses abound. We can fill notebooks with reasons why God's call must be wrong. It's true we are not sufficient for the task on our own. We stammer when we speak. Some of us have accent problems. Maybe we are financially compromised. Maybe our family will disown us if we seriously pursue God's vision for our life. So Gideon could not see himself as a brave and mighty warrior, but God could see him like that. How does God see you? Has God provided a glimpse of your future that seems unrecognizable in you? God sees differently because he has a future-focused X-ray vision. He sees us for who we will be, and his vision is always accurate. So he said, I will be with you. When Gideon said, how can I save Israel? The angel said, I will be with you. My presence will be with you. And that's the greatest promise that should give us assurance. The greatest blessing of God, the greatest gift that God can give to us is his presence. That is why he gave us Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. That is the greatest gift that he gives to us, knowing that we are insufficient. He says, I will be with you. The angel promised God's presence because victory only comes in the power of God's presence. When Gideon said, I can't do it, God agreed with him and said, it's not about you trying harder. This is not about you doing better. It is about me in you because I will be with you. It's about what I can do through you. If God has revealed his vision for our future, he will enable us to realize it. Because he sees himself in us. In verse 34, from the passage that we read, the Bible said, then the Spirit of God took possession of Gideon. And in the Hebrew language, the statement that says, then the Spirit of God took possession of Gideon, it would mean the Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. The Spirit took over Gideon's body so that he could exhibit the new identity of being a mighty warrior. Here is where Gideon obtained power. He encountered God. He was tested by God to destroy the altars that his father had installed, and then to build God's altar. And now God's power entered his life. God is not looking at what we are, but at what we will become when filled with his power. He is looking at what we are becoming with his strength. So God's call is not an affirmation of our abilities, but it is an acknowledgement of his activities in our lives. So there is a false view that God is looking for super Christians to use. Thus we find out in the Bible that Abraham was a strange mixture of fear, doubt, and faith. All the people that were used by God in the Bible, they were just like Gideon, a mixture of fear, doubt, and faith. Isaac was the same. Jacob was also characterized by fear, doubt, and faith. Moses was the same. And today, Gideon. All these were people of great doubt and fear. Yet people have a false view that God is looking for super Christians to use. Some people even can't come to Christ because they say the Bible is too holy for them. They say, I can't reach the level of holiness that it demands, so maybe Christianity is just for some special called out people. Yet here we learn that God does not use perfect people because he does not have them. God does not use perfect people because God does not have perfect people. He takes imperfect people and perfects them. He does not use clean vessels, but he takes dirty vessels and cleans them. And even those that he cleans, they spoil themselves again. That's why the word of God encourages us to confess our sins and to keep confessing, to continuously walk in the light of God so that we keep confessing. When we sin as his children, we have an advocate, Jesus the Christ. When God is with us, then we become mighty warriors. We become mighty warriors. We move from worry to become mighty warriors because God sees himself in us and he will be with us through and through like he promised in the Great Commission, saying, behold, I am with you unto the end of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many lessons we can learn from this dark period of Israel's history, when judges ruled and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. We pray that we may stand firm on the word of truth and live in a way that honors your name. May we proclaim the glorious and unchangeable gospel of grace to a world that is in need of Christ's saving work on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Father, how encouraging it is to read about the exploits of flawed people like Joshua, David, Esther, Paul, and Gideon, whom you graciously used to carry out your plans and purposes for the furtherance of your kingdom in the ongoing history of the world. As you continue to bring your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord to its consummation, we pray that you would use us in whatever way you choose. Help us to trust your word more and more, and allow your perfect peace to guard our hearts for your greater praise and glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.